So we started a new book today in our Torah reading cycle, the book of Numbers, which is called what in the Hebrew?
Bamidbar,
very good. In the wilderness. And we get our name, Numbers, from the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation, but the Hebrew is Bamidbar, in the wilderness. Like I talked about, I think it was last week, this idea of order in God's rule, in God's kingdom, in Israel, there's a certain order he sets forth. That idea of order continues this week. Chapter 1, we have the census of the tribes, right? This tribe, nobody likes reading this stuff, right? But we get a sense of God's order. This tribe has this many fighting soldiers, and that tribe, and of the sons of this, and the sons of that. We get a census. And so, within that census is a sense of order. The division of the tribes for order, the division of the fighting men, and so forth. Chapter 2, this idea of order continues. The camps are to, the tribes are to encamp around the tabernacle. Judah over here, Issachar over there, etc. And this beautiful idea of in the midst of the tribes of Israel is the sanctuary, the Beit HaMikdash, and the glory of the Lord, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and that place where atonement is made, but we are set up in order around it. Chapter 3, the idea of order continues. The various duties of the priests and the Levites. And in chapter 4, a sense of order as well. How to prepare the tabernacle for travel. Right? So we don't have the temple yet, of course, in Numbers. That comes later, much later under Solomon. But here we have the tabernacle, the sanctuary in this ornate tent, but it's got to be taken down and moved. Part of that order we see in Numbers chapter 4, 15 through 20, when we talk about the Kohathites. And the Kohathites are of the Levitical tribe, but they're not the Kohanim. Okay, they're Levites, but they're not descendants of Aaron, so they're not the high priests or their priesthood. They're a step back. They're there to support the Levites are there to support the Kohanim, and the Kohathites in particular are called to move this tabernacle. Numbers chapter 4, starting at verse 15. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furniture of the sanctuary, as the camp moves forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry it, but they shall not touch the sanctuary lest they die. The sons of Kohath shall carry these things belonging to the tent of meeting. The duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the continual meal offering, and the anointing oil, the requirements of the tabernacle, and of all that is in it, the sanctuary and its furnishings. The Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Don't cut off the tribe of the family of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint everything to his service and to his burden, but they shall not go into the sanctuary, even for a moment, lest they die." The Kohathites are to carry the furnishings and the sanctuary, but they can't touch these things or else they what? They die. They can't even go in and look at it. So earlier in chapter 4, the Lord gives explicit directions on how the priests, Aaron and his sons, are to prepare the sanctuary so the Kohathites can go in and do their job without dying. For example, the ark had to be covered with a curtain. And then the curtain had to be covered with animal hides. And over that had to be spread a blue cloth. Also a blue cloth over the table of the presence, its plates, ladles, bowls, and jars, and a scarlet cloth that was then covered in animal hide, the menorah, the altar, the holy vessels, all these things had to be wrapped up because the Kohathites could not touch them lest they die. In the moving of the sanctuary, things had to be taken care of first by the Kohanim, by the priests, Aaron and his sons, before the Kohathite to go in there and pick it up and move it to the next place in the wilderness where they're going to encamp. Order, order, order. Likewise, we have order given to us in the New Covenant. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Order continues. Now there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are various kinds of service and the same Lord. There are various kinds of workings, but the same God who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of all. Just like Levites have jobs and the Kohanim have jobs and we have order around the sanctuary, we need order to this day for the benefit of all. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of languages, and to another the interpretation of languages. But the one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing to each one separately as he desires. As I talked about before, order, right? Order in creation. Okay, order in the wilderness, order in the body of the Messiah. You have this gift, you have that gift. Let us function together to bring glory to the Lord. But there is a difference. There's a big difference between Israel in the wilderness and us today under the Messiah. And the difference is this. In the wilderness, the Kohathites and those, of course, that were not of even the Levites, they could not touch the holy things. They could not enter into the holy place. But there is no distinction like that anymore. There's nobody excluded in the New Covenant body from the holy things. There's nobody excluded from the presence of God. And it was prophesied that this would be such. Even before Messiah came, we have prophecies that in that new covenant time that we would all have access to the holy things. The prophet Joel, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, in Christian Bibles, it's chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, says this: it will happen afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, right? And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also on the servants and on the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on everybody in that new covenant community. Okay? Maybe saying, well, I'm a teenager. Who am I to give a word of the Lord? You are as much a part of the holy things as anybody else. Well, I have this, I have that from my past. I'm not gifted in this or I'm not gifted in that. The Lord says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. There's nobody that has to have the holy things wrapped up so you can't see and you can't touch anymore. Even in that portion I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I'm distributing, but it's all of the Spirit of God. All of you partake of the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. For you have not come to a mountain that might be touched and that burned with fire, into blackness, darkness, storm, the sound of shofar, and the voice of words, which those who heard it begged that not one more word should be spoken to them. For they could not stand that which was commanded, if even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. So here the writer of Hebrews is describing the children of Israel and Moses at Mount Sinai. They trembled in fear. And who could go up? Moses went up. 70 elders went up. But Israel, by and large, could not go up lest they die. In the book of Hebrews, it's saying you have not come to that type of mountain that can be seen and touched and that burned with fire. But what does it say? Starting at verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Look, let's take this personally, right? This is not talking about the person sitting next to you. This is not talking about the rabbi. This is talking about you. You, fill in your name. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable multitudes of angels, to the festal gathering and assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. You are going up to Mount Zion. Not Mount Sinai, Mount Zion. Not the one that burned with a physical fire, but the one where you ascend and you join in the multitude of angels singing. Why? Because of the sprinkling of the blood of the Messiah. You go up that mountain. Go up that mountain. You think, well, I'm not that spiritual. You go up that mountain. You think I'm too stained. You go up that mountain. You are not excluded from the holy things. We don't have to wrap up the Ark of the Covenant and say, don't touch or you're going to die. We don't have to wrap up the menorah anymore and say, don't touch. You're not included in that. That's for the high priest. You go in. You participate in the holy things. You, by the Spirit of God, participate, and we don't. We don't, right? It's all there. And too often we don't. And why don't we? Why don't we? Why don't we? A lot of times we don't because we still carry around with this big, heavy backpack dragging along behind us. We carry around our guilt, we carry around our shame, and all this is fed into by the lies of the enemy. You can't touch that. That's for the spiritual people, right? Let's wrap up the holy things. You can't touch. You have guilt, you have shame. And all this is fed into by Hasatan. What does Hasatan mean?
The adversary.
Right. The adversary. The accuser. I'm going to read to you one of my favorite portions in the Bible. One that often makes me weep. Zechariah chapter 3. He showed me Joshua the high priest. It's not my favorite because my name's in there. But it's just such a beautiful portion. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord's angel and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Isn't this a burning stick plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. He answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take the filthy garments off of him." To him he said, "Behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from before you, and I will clothe you with rich clothing." I said, "Let them set a clean turban on his head." So they set a clean turban on his head and clothed him, and the Lord's angel was standing by. The Lord's angel protested to Joshua, saying, "The Lord of hosts says, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will follow my instructions, then you also shall judge my house and shall also keep my courts, and I will give you a place of access among these who stand by." This idea of standing before the Lord in those filthy garments and the Satan, right, the adversary, the accuser standing there accusing, "You can't touch the holy things. You did this, or you did that, or you're just not gifted, you're just not spiritual, you're just the Lord wants us up on that mountain. The Lord wants us singing with the angels on Mount Zion, and here we are in these filthy garments, and the Lord says, I rebuke you, Satan. We're still listening to Satan. You've got to stop listening to Satan." The Lord rebukes Satan, and the Lord takes off those filthy garments, and the Lord clothes you in robes of righteousness so that you can enter in. Romans 8, verse 31 through 34. "What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If the Lord says you're clean, who can say you're unclean? If the Lord says you are forgiven because of the sprinkling of the blood of the Messiah, who can say you're not clean? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how would he not also with him freely give us all things? Who could bring a charge against God's chosen ones?" You are God's chosen one. Who's going to stand there and accuse you? Who can condemn you? Who is he who condemns? It is Messiah who died. Yes, rather, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That work of the Messiah stands before God, proclaiming that you are clean, proclaiming that you are forgiven, proclaiming that you, there's not to be any more, any separating veil between you and the Holy of Holies. No separation. No separation. Gabrielle, Connor, Malachi, David, Seth, all of you, Michelle, Kathleen, me, there's no separation. That veil is torn in two. You enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Messiah. There is no separation. And the problem is we have burned within our subconscious this idea that we have to earn it. And I understand we're all on the same page theologically. We know we don't have to earn it. But subconsciously, we still think we do. And if you have any remnant of that in your mind, then you would, and I would, rightly stand condemned. Psalm 143, "Don't enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous." Right? You can't. You can't. You can't say, "Well, I'm going to be so good that the bad I did is outweighed." You can't do it. I can't do it. And so we have to get rid of every vestige of that thought. We have to say, "No, the Lord commanded that my filthy garments be taken off. The Lord commanded that the mouth of the enemy, the accuser, be silenced. The Lord commanded that I be dressed in these garments. I do not need that animal hide keeping me from the holy things. I enter in. I don't need that veil anymore. I enter in." And the Lord delights to show you that grace, it says in Micah. He delights in showing grace. Micah 7:19, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, and you will cast them all into the depths of the sea." Look, we don't understand sometimes the depths of our forgiveness, right? We think, "Okay, I'm forgiven. I can accept that. I'm going to heaven one day. I can accept that." But can you accept that right now there is no separation between you and God, between you and the Creator, between you and the Savior. Can you accept that right here, right now, you stand in the Holy of Holies before the Lord? You are that clean. You are that forgiven. And anything that says you aren't, and anyone who says you aren't, is speaking forth the words of the enemy. And if you ever say that about others, then you and I are speaking the words of the enemy for those who have believed in Messiah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor extortionists will inherit God's kingdom. Some of you were such. I'd be willing to bet all of us were such. In one way or another, all of us were the sexually immoral. All of us were idolaters. All of us, whether it is in our minds, in the way we acted, the way we spoke, we have all been these things. But that's past tense now. If you have put your trust in Messiah Yeshua, that forgiveness will work so deep. You'll understand, I am dressed in clean garments. I'm not going to roll around in the pig manure anymore. Right? My life has changed. I'm different because I've been so forgiven. I'm wearing white garments. Right? You sit down to a spaghetti dinner and you're careful when you're wearing that nice new clean white shirt. Right? At least you should be. And so you don't want to get it dirty, right? You don't want to get dirty anymore. You've been so clean, so forgiven. How could I do this? How could I do that? That's not me anymore. I've got to live in righteousness. I've been dressed in these garments that I didn't deserve, that I didn't earn. Doesn't mean we're never going to fall. Of course we're going to fall. Of course we still struggle with this old habit and that thing. But we don't want to, right? That's not our life anymore. After I read these verses from 1 Corinthians before, somebody said, well, you know, I struggle. I struggle with getting drunk. Does this mean I can't inherit the kingdom of God? Look, there's a huge difference between somebody who lives for the Bible, I'm sorry, somebody who lives for the bottle, somebody who lives to get drunk and does the religious thing over here just to make sure they're still going to heaven. That's not right. There's a big difference between that and somebody who lives for God but occasionally gets wrapped up in that old way. Lord, forgive me. Let me develop in my walk, right? And so we've got to live for God because we've been clean. That's past tense. Some of you were such, but you were washed. You were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified. You were washed, sanctified, justified. It's a complete work in the name of the Lord Yeshua and in the Spirit of our God. There's no longer shame. There's no longer anything there that should keep you from the holy things of the Lord. You don't need that separation. The Lord doesn't want you to be separate. He wants to pour out his Spirit on you. He wants you living in the blinding light of his presence. He wants you there in the Holy of Holies. He wants you to understand there is no distance between you and him anymore. So let's get rid of the shame. Let's get rid of the guilt. Lord, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. The forgiveness that is not only good enough to get us into heaven one day, but the forgiveness that is so deep that right here and right now I stand on Mount Zion and I worship you with the angels and I receive of your Spirit and I'm there with the other cleansed ones and I am a spiritual person. I am a clean person. I am in your presence, O Lord, because of the blood of Messiah, because you said, Satan, I rebuke you. I rebuke you from putting shame and guilt on my children. I rebuke you. Lord God Almighty, let us enter in fully into the life that you have prepared for us. Lord God, knowing that the old filthy garments are taken off and the clean ones placed on. In Yeshua's name we all say, Amen.